Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today, broadcasting from our basement out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio today with us. And we are going to revisit the asylum yet one more time, and I don't think I'm over-exaggerating the state of our civilization. I want our listening audience to understand something, Bill. Our civilization has been through an auto accident, but it's not as if, yeah, okay, the fender's been busted up a little bit. No. A train has run over this thing, and the steering wheel is in the trunk. Okay, that's where we are right now. This whole thing is messed up beyond all recognition. And if you don't recognize the messed upness of our civilization, where we stand right now, I think you're probably crushed up into the trunk with the rest of it. So that would be my concern. I think it is important for people to understand how far we've gone down the track, especially when it comes to the transgender issue in the K-6 schools.
Yeah, I think we are witnessing, if we have not already witnessed, the death of liberty, the demise of the rule of law, and the end of the republic.
Yeah.
And it's all, you can trace it back to the threshold of every public school in the country.
Well, you trace it back to Proverbs 1:7. I mean, just bring the biblical text to bear one more time. Again, friends, if we want to be sure we're laying down good foundations for our kids in our homeschooling conferences, in any kind of a opportunity to rebuild family life, to rebuild church life, to rebuild education, we have to begin with Proverbs 1:7. The beginning of wisdom and knowledge is the fear of God. Well, that certainly was not one of the questions posed to the purported Secretary of Education on the part of the senators in the confirmation hearings this week. They didn't. I don't believe I heard a single question relating to Proverbs 1:7. Sadly, they're not interested in the foundations anymore. At this point, it's just tearing down huge parts of these institutions and destroying our civilization as we know it. Now, Rand Paul, Senator from Kentucky, pressed the Education Secretary nominee on transgender athletes. And again, I want people to understand that here he's interviewing the secretary nominee for the asylum. And here's how the exchange went. Again, Rand Paul pressing Education Secretary nominee on transgender athletes. Here it is.
The Office of Civil Rights sent a letter to Connecticut saying that boys can't compete with girls in sports. Or
so what's happening here?
To allow boys to compete in girls' sports. If you're confirmed, will you enforce that Office of Civil Rights opinion?
Hello, Senator. Thank you for the question. I understand that there are a lot of concerns about that. It's if confirmed, it's my responsibility and my privilege to make sure that we're following our civil rights of all students. And that includes activities that they may engage in high school or in athletics.
What do you think in general about boys running in girls' track meets like they've been doing in Connecticut?
I think that it's critically important that education systems and educators respect the rights of all students, including students who are transgender, and that they are afforded the opportunities that every other student has to participate in extracurricular activity.
Does it bother you that, like, the top 20% of boys running in track meets beat all of the girls in the state and that it, you know, would be, you know, completely destroy girls' athletics, that girls are being pushed out? They don't make the finals in the state meet. They don't get college scholarships, that it's really detrimental to girls' sports. Do you worry about having boys running girls' track meets?
You know, I recognize and appreciate the concerns and the frustrations that are expressed. I've, as Commissioner of Education, have had conversations with families who have felt the way you just described it, and families of students who are transgender. So I understand that this is a challenge. I look forward to working with you and others to...
Do you think it's fair to have boys running in the girls' track meet?
I think it's appropriate for... I think it's the legal responsibility of schools to provide opportunities for students to participate in activities, and this includes students who are transgender.
So you don't have a problem then with boys running in the girls' track meet, swimming meets, name it. You're okay then with boys competing with girls?
Respectfully, Senator, I think I answered the question. I believe schools should offer the opportunity for students to engage in extracurricular activities even if they're transgender. I think that's their right.
All right. Well, a lot of us think that that's bizarre, you know, not very fair. You know, I come from a family that has a lot of girls who have competed in college athletics, have been state champions, and frankly, you know, some boy that's 6'2" competing against my 5'4" niece doesn't sound very fair. I think most people in the country think it's bizarre, you know, that it's just completely bizarre and unfair that people, and you're going to run the Department of Education, you've got no problem with it. That concerns me. And I think it's, this kind of thing is going to lead to really just the vast majority of America just wondering, who are these people that think it's okay? From what planet are you from? I mean, to think it's okay that boys would compete with girls in a track meet, that somehow would be fair. I wonder where feminists are on this. I wonder where the people who supported women's sports are on this. I mean, we all going to be okay with hulking 6'4" guys, you know, wrestling against girls, doing, you know, it just makes no sense whatsoever. And so I think the fact that you seem to be afraid to answer the question, or you basically do answer the question by saying it's okay without saying it's okay, really is a statement to a real problem we have, and a disconnect between what middle America and what most Americans actually believe. I even think most Democrats don't believe girls should run in the boys' track meet. You know, boys should run in the girls' track meet. So I'm disappointed in the answer, and I just can't imagine that we're going to have a policy like that nationally.
All right, so that's it. Senator Rand Paul talking to Cardona on transgender athletics. And, you know, he's come to the conclusion that this is bizarre. This is from some other planet. This is insanity. He's defining it as insane. I think there's a few folks out there that still believe this is insane, but it's turning into national policy.
It doesn't matter if we hold a vote on whether or not it's insane. It is evil. This is evil.
Yeah, it is.
With a face on it, and it's Cardona. This is evil with a face on it, and the face of the Biden administration is evil. We might as well just say it, because what they're doing is they are denying what they say everybody else is denying, and that is science. Biology says there are two sexes, male and female, period. The Bible says that. You're right. There's no fear of the Lord. Did you hear Rand Paul talk about, you know, this is against scripture?
Yeah,
of course not.
They're way
no,
past that.
This is not fair. That's the other side's language. No, this is evil. This is evil personified. And if Republicans and Democrats vote for this guy as the Department of Education chair and then complain about it, they have nothing to complain about. Martin Luther said this: I am afraid that the schools will prove the very gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures and engraving them in the heart of the youth. Now, is that what schools do today, Kevin?
Yeah, that's pretty much what they're doing. Yeah.
Do they engrave the Holy Scriptures in the hearts of youth?
They're not doing that. They're paving the gates of hell.
Parents, you might as well, when you drop your kid off at school, you might as well look up at the school name and replace it with not Jefferson School, not, you know, the school of right now, whatever name they put on it, just substitute gates of hell.
Yeah. Well, I think the insanity of it is explained very well for us in Romans chapter 1. We've referred to this many times in the past, Bill. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And then later on we find that God gave them up to a perverse mind. And that's precisely what's going on. But it's mass-produced across this country today. I can't think of anything more destructive to do. If you look at the Biden administration and you say, well, what are the most destructive things a leftist government could do over the next 4 years? I would say this tops the list. Again, we're trying to chronicle the decline of Western civilization, the breakdown of an entire civilization. This is what the end looks like. This is the very end of a civilization. And I think it's remarkable that they're going for transgendering all schools from the get-go. And, Bill, I think this is the most destructive thing. It's not so much that he's going to increase taxes. He's going to increase the minimum wage law and, I don't know, bring the environmental agenda to the umpteenth level. But now he's violating the Matthew 18 principle, and that is the stumbling the little ones that believe in Jesus and it would be better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck and he'd be drowned at the bottom of the sea. Now, that's the principle that Jesus left with us. And I think, you know, Biden, school administrators, others need to take warning that Jesus is not happy when these sorts of policies are implemented across this country. Biblically, again, friends, we've got to go to several passages, but Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5 is the clearest on this issue. A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. In arguing from lesser to greater on this moral principle from Scripture, it's even more of an abomination to gender change with surgeries, fake genitals, and all the rest versus putting on a woman's garment if you're a man. It's even more of an abomination than to teach kids this principle. And, of course, even more of an abomination to do this to kids. And that's what they're doing in our day. And, you know, it's not just us that are upset about this bill. There are quite a few others that are upset about the transgendering of bathrooms across America. But I just don't think that the opposition to this policy is going to be strong enough to stand against the zeitgeist at this point. I'm just not hearing a movement of God's people that's strong enough to oppose these policies in American public schools. Can you imagine some administrator in Elbert County or in Douglas County here in Colorado saying, no, we're not going to do that. We're not taking any more federal monies, and we will not be controlled by the National Department of Education. Can you imagine school administrators standing up against this? It seems to me that that Americans have lost the nerve. They've lost principle. They no longer attach themselves to the moral standards of God's word. They don't have an integrity and a character or a moral principle to them to take a stand on these issues and risk their career on this kind of thing. Are you with me?
That's because the schools have won. The schools have won. For the past 50 years, they've been indoctrinating people into a godless worldview, an atheistic worldview, a Marxist worldview, if you will. Now, why would we expect that parents who've gone through the system, who have been the product of this indoctrination for the past 25 years, to suddenly stand up and say, oh, I don't want the schools indoctrinating my student? The schools have won on this.
Mm-hmm.
This is evil. And I'm going to tell you who the worst are. It's Christian teachers who enable the system to continue. Mm-hmm. They don't stand up. Oh, yeah, but in my school, we've got some Christian teachers. Okay, are they speaking out against this?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay, if you participate in it, you are complicit.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are 70 million American evangelicals. Don't forget, about 20% of Americans claim to be evangelical. 70 million evangelicals in America, and by the math, that's about 12 million kids. And right now, as my best calculation is, we've got 2 million evangelical kids being homeschooled in America. And, well, that leaves, what, 10 million kids still being public schooled from American evangelical churches. Just this last Friday, I was speaking to some of the evangelical pastors in our area, and I just turned to these guys and said, it's time, guys. We got to pull our kids out of these schools. This transgender policy is universal across America, and it's for us to take a stand. You know, otherwise, it's a Matthew 18 thing. Jesus said, if you offend one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck and be drowned at the bottom of the sea. And I think pastors need to stand up and pay attention to these sorts of things. Otherwise, it's the millstone treatment. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically,
but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Also, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio today. And talking about the universal policy on the part of the Biden administration to transgender all schools in America. And that, by the way, includes private schools. It appears their commitment to Title VII and to Title IX will extend to schools in America that have some tie into government funding, federal government funding. And so it appears that we're moving more and more in the direction of government control of our schools and the transgendering of private schools, Christian schools, and public schools across America. And Bill, as you said, it's just the transgender policy. This is the last 40 to 50 years of abandoning prayer in the public schools, abandoning the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, and all-out humanism. That's humanism teaches. I think people need to understand that humanism teaches that you take the Ten Commandments off the wall. God has no participation in the ethics of the morality of the of man. Rather, it's man who is autonomous, man who determines his own standard of right and wrong. And so when you have, you know, 50, 60 years of this inculcation of a humanist worldview that is man that will determine his own ethics, it is the state or it is the individual that will determine what is good, what is right or wrong for himself, and now this is applied in the ultimate sense to one's own choice of gender. That is, God has no control. The Creator, or whatever you begin with at the beginning of your life, has no influence whatsoever over your choices concerning gender. Rather, it's for you to choose your own gender and therefore thereby redefine yourself and redefine your ethics at the same time. So this is ultimate humanist autonomy on steroids, and it is being implemented in every public school in America by fiat, by the presidential executive order that was signed by Joe Biden on the first day in office. And now his Secretary of Education, by the way, he sailed through and was approved as the next Secretary of Education for America. Cordova will be implementing the policy that has been encouraged by his boss, and that is to transgender all K-12 schools across this country.
It's insanity. And for parents to continue this by sacrificing their children on the altar of secularism is evil. And I'm going to call out Christian teachers, and I'm going to call out parents who are Christians and say, you better find an alternative. Yeah. You will be held accountable for what you're doing to your children. Mm-hmm. This is evil.
Yeah. Well, friends, as we look at the history of the rise and fall of the Republic and the rise and fall of the Western world, I've just completed a book called Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, and that's coming out within about a month or so. And I have an entire chapter on the rise and fall of Western education. And K-12 education in America was largely Christian, thanks to the work of, well, the Puritans, first and foremost, that came out with the New England Primer, which began with A. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. And that's the way it went for about 200 years. Then you have Noah Webster, who at the beginning of his career thought that he might liberalize education, move it away from a Christian world and life view. But by God's grace, he moved away from the French revolutionary ideas and came back to the Christian way of thinking. We have that whole story in American Faith, by the way, and he actually became a born-again evangelical Christian by about 1805 or so, and became the most influential schoolmaster of America to influence American K-12 schools for the next about 90 to 100 years. So he had a huge influence, as did McGuffey, who was a Presbyterian minister and had tremendous influence upon education as well. So by the time you get to the 20th century, at the turn of the 20th century, McGuffey readers are still referring to the Bible, encouraging the observance of the Sabbath and that sort of thing. But then you get G. Stanley Hall. And G. Stanley Hall is effectively the first American psychologist bringing two new majors into American universities, an education major and a psychology major, those being the highlight of humanist theology. Humanist theology is primarily expressed in the education department and the psychology department of most universities, and G. Stanley Hall recognized that right away. He incorporated an all-out humanism into two new majors in American universities, the psychology major and the education major, in which humanism would dominate from there on out. And by the turn of the 20th century, G. Stanley Hall was referring to the universities as the true shrines of the spirit and nurseries of supermen. And he was convinced that government schools were more sacred than the church, quote unquote, more sacred than the church. G. Stanley Hall's words, not mine. His students included the most influential progressives of the 20th century, John Dewey and, yep, you got it, Woodrow Wilson. John Dewey, of course, was the man who set the direction for humanism in the 20th century, incorporated into the education departments of American universities, and so that the education degree that, by the way, many Christian evangelicals will run out and get a degree in education to be sure that they've been well educated in the humanist shrines and the theology of modern humanism. That is the theology degree for modern humanists. It's called the education degree. And John Dewey is the grandfather of the education departments of American universities. John Dewey also referred to the public school teacher as the prophet of the true God. That is the prophet of humanism and the usher in of the true kingdom of this God. Education was defined as the institution which regulates the process of coming to share in the social consciousness of mankind. That is, we share in man's ideas and man's reconstruction of himself in his own image. So, friends, that's the humanism of the day, and that comes in the 20th century and throughout the entire 20th century until you get to the 1960s, 1970s, where a few Christian schools get their start and the homeschooling movement gets its start in the 1970s. American education is almost thoroughly humanistic. So just keep that in mind. The Alice and Jerry readers, the Dick and Jane readers of the 1940s, 1950s had eliminated all references to God. You remember those readers? They had eliminated references to Scripture and to the church. So you don't have Alice and Jerry attending church. You don't have Dick and Jane referring to God and fearing God or worshiping God. There's no prayer. There's no church. There's no God. So by the time you get to the education that was used by our own grandparents, that's an education that was thoroughly secularized. So please understand, America had been secularized by the 1940s and 1950s. Okay, they hadn't transgendered their bathrooms in the kindergarten yet, granted, but they had taken out a Christian curriculum, and America has become a secular nation by the 1940s and 1950s. Now, my parents do remember one or two teachers praying in public school classrooms during their primary school years of the 1940s. I just asked them about that. And also they said from time to time they would have a song hour in which they would sing "O Worship the King" and "For the Beauty of the Earth" mixed in with Stephen Foster's "My Old Kentucky Home" and "Old Zip Coon." So this is the kind of thing that was happening in American public schools in the 1940s and 1950s. The wallpaper came down in 1962, as you know. Most of that was still wallpaper, so there really wasn't much of a Christian discipleship going on anymore. John Dewey and his friend G. Stanley Hall had pretty much secularized the curriculum by the time you get to the 1940s and 1950s. So the hymn hour, the prayer, was pretty much a joke by the time you get to the 1960s. And so in 1962, what do we have in 1963? Engel v. Vital, and government-funded schools became not just a-Christian, but anti-Christian. That's one point people need to understand, that American public schools took prayer out, outlawing all reverence for God, all worship of God, all fear of God. That was banned in American schools in 1963. So, Bill, this goes back a few years, and I think that's something people forget. Basically, the wallpaper is down. The sins of omission were enforced upon American school children. That is, it was against the law to do the things that God wanted us to do, and that was to, you know, thank Him and times of thanksgiving. And the chemistry professor should have been down on his knees, raising his arms and singing, "To God be the glory, great things He has done," and acknowledging God as the genius who has put together, you know, this amazing creation. The biology professor should have been singing "How Great Thou Art" in the biology classroom, but that wasn't happening. So all of that came down. Now we have sins of commission in which our students, our Christian students, have to bow at the temples of transgenderism and homosexuality. So that's where we are right now. So now we've come to the point at which not only are children forced into the sins of omission, but now they're forced into the sins of commission. In 1987, also, don't forget, Edwards v. Aguillard, that was against teachers who wanted to present creationism in the classroom. And that was 1987. The Supreme Court of the United States ruled in the favor of what they called a secular religion. The reasoning was that only a secular religion or worldview would be allowed in American government schools, and all references that, quote, a supernatural being created mankind were banned in American classrooms. That was in 1987. Henceforth, only that religion purporting to be, quote, scientific and presupposing the non-existence of God and the non-involvement of God in origins was allowed in the secular post-Christian religious classrooms. So that's what happened in 1987. And 2012, California schools, first state to mandate instruction in homosexuality. And by 2020, New Jersey, Colorado, Illinois joined the program. 15 states incorporated laws requiring transgender education. And in the year 2021, well, we're here in 2021, and that is where there is now a universal policy in which all schools in America must be transgendered. We finally come to the point at which American schools are entirely anti-Christian and also have become self-destructive.
And yet, most churches will do a fundraiser drive, or they will do a supply drive to help the local elementary school provide supplies for the students. Hmm. Churches are enablers. Yeah. They're enabling the addiction to continue.
Yeah.
They're enabling the evil to continue. It is time that we face up to this. This is pure evil.
Well, if there's ever been a time in which American pastors should stand up and protect the sheep, especially the little lambs in the flock, man, we have arrived at that point. And, Bill, where else would we go? I mean, I guess when there's forced homosexual laboratories for 8-year-old kids in American public school classrooms, where
it's already there.
By mandate, 7-year-old kids are sexually abused by teachers across this country, would
they are
American pastors
already there?
Would America
teaching it?
Would American pastors encourage their parents to pull their kids out of those public schools at that point?
No,
you don't think so.
It'll be too late.
Let me say this: that if there was ever a time at which God has provided an island of freedom for families, and people can say, "Well, but there's nothing else we can do." Well, there is something you can do. You're not going to be put in prison for homeschooling your kids. Hey, the entire country was homeschooling, 10 months ago during the COVID-19 pandemic. And now we have an opportunity to homeschool. There are 5 million kids being homeschooled already in America. Sadly, only, 2 million out of 12 million evangelical children are being homeschooled in American homeschools. And that's sad. That's too bad. There needs to be a mass migration out of the public schools. It should start tomorrow. And the home school is certainly the island of culture and freedom. This is what Rod Dreher has been talking about with the Benedict Option. It's the island in the raging storms of cultural deconstruction and social chaos that has hit this country. Friends, we are there. Christian schools, Christian colleges are done for the most part. Why? Because they will be included in the accommodation market. Homeschools are not part of the accommodation industry. Schools are. And those schools that are tied into the Title VII, Title IX requirements, they will not survive the Equality Act and the accommodation laws. Friends, that's where we are right now. The leftists are out for Bear. Just please understand, Joe Biden and his administration are going to do everything they can not only to reverse what Donald Trump attempted to do, but they are out for Bear, and they will transgender the schools if they can. They'll do everything they can to transgender every single school in America. And homeschooling, praise God, is an island of freedom and culture for families who want it for such a time as this. God has provided something of an island of culture. Why not take advantage of it? That's what I'm saying. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Friends, I'd encourage you also at the same time, not only to homeschool your kids, but supply them with a distinctively Christian worldview-based curriculum. This is a time at which we not only pull out of the transgendered schools, but we go the opposite direction and give them a distinctively biblically-based Christian education that is Christian on steroids, that is a self-consciously, self-consistent, biblically-based curriculum, 1st through 12th grade, provided by the Generations Ministry. So this year, we are unveiling our 12-year biblical worldview, Christ-saturated Christian curriculum for your homeschool. Friends, it is available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.